my dear friend, Pastor Young, is going to come and share the word with us. And we want to just in this beautiful presence of the Lord, we want to hear from our brother. And I remember the first time I met you, Young, and he remembers that time too. And I think that the way we met and our exchange knit our hearts together even stronger than if it had been another kind of way of exchange or way of meeting, but it was really beautiful, and we've been meeting ever since. So Young, come on up, and we just want to hear what God has put on your heart. We had such a fun night. Thursday night was really special. You kind of tag teamed with a good friend of yours, Colt, who's here with us today. Yes, and we were all richly blessed, you know. And our dear Saeed, who's moving today, was with us and shared his testimony. It was quite remarkable, eh? Yeah. What was shared. And so, Young, thank you for coming. Thank you for his church. That's the title. You got your my church out there. You got his church. I can't keep track of all these churches, but it is his church, right?
Amen.
I love you, brother.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Isn't his presence amazing? I love the presence of God. It kind of quenched my thirst and it satisfies my soul. Why don't we start with prayer? Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for giving us all things already. Father, you have given us, unlike every other religion, they aim to finish well. They aim to hopefully that they will be saved by the time they end their life, by the time they come to the end of their life. They hope that they have done good enough to be finally enter into the place of sanctuary or heaven or whatever that might be. But we're different. You sent your only begotten Son to pay the price from the beginning. So when we receive you, we already enter into that place. From day one, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. We start from the place of having all things in Christ. And we get to find that out as we journey with you relationally. Father, you're so good. Help us to remember that, Lord. Every single day is a fight the good fight of faith, the battle, to continuously remember who we are. Not resurrecting our old nature, not resurrecting our old self, thinking that is who we are, but remembering the new nature that we have become, a body of Christ, a new creation in God. We praise you, God. Help us to keep our heart continue to open towards you to one another. May the Holy Spirit do as you please. Use us as an instrument of righteousness. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I mean, Pastor Chuck talked about our brother Saeed, who's only 4 months in the Lord. He's from Iran. Some of you know, met him. Obviously, he's the family of God in this place. The remarkable thing about Saeed, what he shared, was that his religion, he questioned his father when he first went to mosque. They were crying out to God for mercy. They're crying out to God. They're literally, the huge portion of their service is sent around crying, pleading to God. Because we know that at the end of their life, they will stand on the scale. And if you have done more good, then you would enter into paradise. But if you have done more evil, you would enter into hell. That's their religion. So they have to beg in mercy. But as I prayed, we are different. We start from the place of being accepted, not because of our good deeds, but because we have become a new creation, body of Christ. And today I would like to share what that looks like, to be actually a disciple of Christ. How many of you agree with me? Raise your hand if you do. That we live in such a unique time that we have already reached the tipping point of no turning back. And I don't know how soon he's going to return, but all the pieces that requires for Christ, including technology, of every eye seeing Christ in Book of Revelation, everybody seeing it one time, is already here. How many of you agree with me? Right? We're living in that last days. And I believe that the culture and society, even Christian Judeo-Christian culture, the heart of the people has shifted away from that. And the business and everything, that capitalism, which works so well, is not working as much anymore. Why? Because capitalism needs to be built on a foundation of Judeo-Christian culture, of charity and love. Without people willingly share what they have gathered, capitalism cannot work. You know, I've been to China. My brother is a business person, and my wife and I, we've been running business, multiple business, and we ran house church and ministry for a really long time. Right now, we're in full-time ministry for the past 10 years. But first 12 years of our journey with the Lord, we ran business. And in between ministry and business season, I went to China with my brother. He's a businessman. And I went to Hong Kong and one of the area called Shenzhen. By the way, I'm not Chinese. I'm Asian, but I'm Korean. So I hope you understand that. You know, you may be European, but they're Germans, French, and British, and Scottish, and Irish, right? And people don't like, right? So I'm proud to be Korea. And please, 99.99% of the Korean people are from South, by the way. So assume when somebody tells you they're Korean, assume, please, it is okay to assume they're from what? South Korea. Because North Korea, you can't get out. Right? Come on. I hear that all the time. I'm not angry, but I go, really? Do you know the difference between North and South? But by the way, right? So I'm from South, and my brother, obviously he is. He lives in the U.S. right now. But around 2012, we went to China in hopes to start an import-export business. And Hong Kong back then, it was great. Shenzhen is crazy. Incredible capitalism that Chinese allowed. So there were manufacturing districts, huge business districts. And on the street, what I saw was this: Porsche, Lamborghini, Ferrari, all these incredible luxury vehicles driving all the time. In the corner, I see clumps of people everywhere. They're in tethers. And they were willing to get paid quarters just to move your shopping goods. Incredible disparity between wealth and the poor. And we can see that happening right now. Why is that happening even in a Western Judeo-Christian culture? Because people are not being discipled. People are not being discipled. They still retain many of the mindset of this world. In fact, a lot of people see, like you and I, they see what is coming, including all the billionaires who's building that shelter right now. They're all building, right? So the billionaires are building all this incredible, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of shelter. Some of you heard that. Because they know something will happen. They can sense it. So they're hoarding. What's happening? They're hoarding. They're hoarding everything. And COVID showed that. It was a great transition of wealth, not from the rich to the poor, actually, from all the middle class. We were all getting sucked dry, and all the wealth was moving towards what? To the ultra wealthy. But this is only the symptom of us Christians having lost our ways. We should not be afraid. We should be glad that return of Christ is coming soon. We should not be afraid of persecution or lack, because He is our ultimate provider. And in persecution, our relationship and our faith with the Lord grows. And the first century church, they truly thrived when Stephen was martyred. I mean, we read Book of Acts and we go, oh, he was martyred. We just glance over the chapter thinking nothing of it, right? But imagine Stephen arguing with the authority of that day. He dared to argue. I mean, as a Christian, even today, we go, how dare they argue against the government? We should just submit to the authority of the government. How dare they raise their voice? Stephen at the court rebuked the leaders and the people at the court. That's how he was killed. And when he did that, Jesus stood approving the word and the action of Stephen, which followed quickly by death and martyrdom of Stephen, which led to what? Persecution of the church, which was God's design to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. He loves us so much that he's willing to lead us to that place where we are led to preach the good news to the ends of the earth, to God, being saved, coming into the kingdom of God, having relationship with the Father is priority number one, even at the cost of our comfort. Amen. Do you believe that? I mean, I kind of understand that intellectually, but I was sharing with Darren. You know, I know persecution is good for the body, but I don't want it. I don't want persecution. Who wants persecution? Maybe some of you, maybe you're too shy to raise your hand. But nobody wants to suffer. But the mindset of the first century church, what happened when they were first whipped, when they were first beaten, they consider it to be a blessing to suffer for Christ. Man, isn't that like amazing? But you know what separates them from us? They were disciples of Christ. Let me correct that. It should be the same for us, because we are also called to be what? Disciples of Christ. We are. Before the title of apostle, pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, all that title, we are disciples of Christ. And I want to share what that is this morning. This transformed my life. This revelation that is in your face in the scripture. Even as a pastor, I've been busy running church. I've been busy doing events. And I failed to realize individually the greatest calling is to be a disciple of Christ. Individually. And from that, we are introducing other into that very individualistic relationship that we have with Christ and begin to draw others into that relationship. That is discipleship. Some of you don't like to hear that. Individualism. The only thing that is allowed in the scripture about being individuals is actually me and the Lord, one-on-one. That is okayed. Because at the end of your life, even though I love my wife and my children, will I be standing in front of the Lord with them or by myself? I am only accountable for me to God, myself to God. I stand before the Lord one-on-one. And the only thing that matters is this. Did you abide in my love, and did you learn to love others as I loved you? That's it. Everything else manifests from that place. Amen? So we would be, you know, the first thing happened to me when I became Christian. Okay, I want to do something for God. I got to do something, right? Some of you are itching after you get saved, after you hear about this incredible gospel of grace and mercy and the power and the authority and the forgiveness. You're like, yes, I want to share this. I want to just bring others into this. And we go bonkers. Some of us, not all, right? Some of us more, you know, out there personality. We go, yes, let's go on a soapbox and begin to preach. Right? Right? No? No? Not all of us? So we hear this, right? This is what we hear, and we go after this one. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. We hear this all the time. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus said this, go and make disciples and teach them all that I have taught you. And disciple is more than just being a student, right? Disciple in his time, in a kingdom context, in the kingdom way, is actually that I share my life with the one who's discipling me, and I learn how he interacts in every interaction, everyday circumstances, and I learn the crafts, whatever the mastery that he have mastered, and I learn that not only the skills, but his lifestyle, his attitude, whatever or whoever that might be, I duplicate, I learn, and I make that my own. It's not like going to school and study a single session of archaeology, read a textbook and memorize it. It's beyond just knowledge. It's transforming the mindset. Some of you think that, some of you know about this word, right? Repent as in metanoia in Greek, right? Change of your thinking. But in reality, it's deeper. That's surface level. True meaning of metanoia, true meaning of repent actually means changing of the mindset. Not just the mind, mindset. What does that mean? It means new information comes in. I stay with that information. I begin to understand that information. Then I begin to believe it in my heart. As I stay with that, God turns that, because Jesus is the author and a perfecter of faith, he turns that into faith, and I yield to that faith. That's what it means. Not my faith, his faith, because God's faith is the one that recreates us. God's faith is the only thing that creates supernatural events. Not human faith, God's faith. That's why some of us believe as all we want, nothing happens, because it's my faith. But if we align with his faith, everything that he desires happen. Amen? So that's what disciple means. Disciple means like doing what Christ has done. But I want to go further than that today. So the true meaning, okay, maybe I should click it. Okay, there we go. Okay, that's the scripture. Okay, before giving the Great Commission, like how many of you think that Great Commission is it, right? It must be really important. Great Commission is what he gave before he ascended. Right before that, he talked about the Holy Spirit, obviously. And we're living in that age of the Holy Spirit, Book of Acts, in the body of Christ. But he, before that, on the very last day, right after the Great Supper in Book of John, he said, I'm giving you the Great Commission. So before leading others into discipleship, as in Great Commission, he gave a great commandment. He did. Believe me, he did. I'm going to expand on that through the scripture. He gave great commandment. Okay, what is that? Okay, let it fall. What is that great commandment? The great commandment is this. It's actually in John 13, verse 34 through 35. Let's read this. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. I just want to expand on that love. That love, actually, Greek has at least five, minimum five, different ways to express love. And, you know, one is love between man and woman, eros and peleos, between friends. But agape love is what is here. And we know that agape love only comes from the Lord. We can never love others with agape love on our own. Period. It is impossible. It is only possible through God himself. Okay? Being a disciple of Christ means loving others just as Jesus loved. So the evidence of our love for God is that people in the world, not what we say, right? Not what we say. People in the world will see our community and see that we're loving one another, not by our own love, just as Jesus is loving me, right? Not us, me. I am loving you. That's the evidence. Let me repeat that. The evidence that the world will see and the evidence that God said that the world will know that we are his disciple is by our action of loving one another. And it has to be that evident. That's it. And God desires that we enter into that. I believe he's resetting the church for us to recognize that everything comes from that place. Let me give you little tidbits. How many of you, you know, my background is that I've been Presbyterian. I was also Catholic. I was part of the Rhema World Word of Faith and all the different things. Right now, I'm non-denominational, relational, charismatic, so whatever you want to call that. So for a season, I value faith more than anything else, right? Faith is it, faith is that. But true faith comes through love. Scripture said, faith works, what? Through love. Faith works through love. So true faith of God only works through love. Even the faith that we triumph in, we're like, yeah, faith this and faith that, even that has to work through love. Amen? So that's what being a disciple of Christ. Okay, let me see right there. There you go. We will see the manifestation of love for one another. Can I give like practical outlook of what that looks like? Some of you go, what would that look like, Young? Well, 1 John, it says this. If you see your brother, I'm just paraphrasing, right? It's okay, right? If you see your brother in need and tell your brother, be blessed and walk away, you don't truly love your brother. You need to help that brother in what? In his need, practically. If he needs clothing, clothe him. If he needs food, give him food. That's what love is. Love is more than our word. It's actually manifesting into action. And I believe, I was sharing with Darren a little bit and Pastor Chuck too, I believe the hour is here where we learn to grow in our community, where we begin to manifest our love for one another. I'm still struggling too, like all of us. You know, there are different degrees of human love I'm still manifesting. My immediate family, my wife, son, and my daughter Grace, and my son David, they're my family, and I love them, and I hold nothing back for them, right? How many of you do that for your children, right? For your spouse? But for a family of God, you're my family. You're my family. Yes, I love you. But everything that I have for my family, if I have leftover, maybe I'll consider you, right? But Jesus wants to eradicate that wall coming season. He wants to eradicate that. That is very attractive. Come on, think about it. Think about this. What is people of the world outside of our faith? What are they crying out? They're crying out for what? Love, acceptance. They're crying out, share your wealth. Help me, right? I need help in this and that. What are they actually crying out for? They don't know what they're crying out for. What are they actually crying out for? Jesus. They're crying out for Jesus and his community. Jesus and his community. Unfortunately, community at large have not practiced that. We have not practiced what we preached. I'm just saying, I'm convicted as I'm saying this, but we have not practiced what we preached. But I know that is changing today. Amen? I know that is changing today. I love West Ottawa Community Church. Think about this. West Ottawa Community Church. You guys already have started. And I believe that you will grow in this. Amen? I believe that you will grow in your community, in everything that you say and everything that you do. Amen? Amen. So that's what being a disciple of Christ. Actually having the action. Okay. So I believe Jesus preached and he actually took action on what he preached. So let's explore more. How did Jesus do all that? So how many of you are enjoying the weather today? Isn't it amazing? I love the snow. Yes, yes. I heard from Pastor Chuck, there was a person that came all the way down from Orleans.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah. Let me see you. Praise God. You have real faith. Amen. Anyone else further than Orleans on either side? Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Amen. I feel like we have something. I just want to pause there for a second. I feel like we have something unique here. We see the wedding that is happening, right? Tonight, this afternoon. What is Jesus looking for? We know this. He's looking for spotless, wrinkleless bride, right? He's looking for that. He's looking forward to that. That's the will of the Father. And what I'm going to share actually prepare us to be that. So the secret sauce, if you want to call it that, the secret sauce of how Jesus was able to live the way he lived, because he has chosen not to use his divine power, right? How many of you believe that even though he's divine, he has chosen to submit to the Father and to allow the Holy Spirit to work through him to do all the works of God, and has chosen not to use his divine power on purpose. Why? So he can tell us, you can do greater things. If he has used his full divine power as a man, can we do greater works? No. We can do greater works because he has given us the Holy Spirit, which he yields to allow God to move through him. We can do that. Let me expand on that a little more, okay? It sounds a little far-fetched, right? But he actually talks about that. So I believe his rhythms of life, his lifestyle or his spiritual lifestyle is called abide, listen, and obey. Let's read that, right? Let's read that together. Jesus modeled the spiritual rhythms of abiding in the Father's agape love, listening to his voice, and obeying his will. These rhythms shape every part of his life and ministry. As his body, we are called to live in the same way, abiding, listening, and obeying, just as he did. So everything that he has done, everything that he has said, the entirety of his life came from this place. It's very simple. The gospel of the kingdom is simple. Being a disciple, in principle, is simple. It starts from this place. Okay. So how did he abide? Well, Jesus said this in John 15:10. He said this, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." Okay, this is important. "Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." That's starting place for Christ. So all the miracle, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, healing the sick, all the prophetic word, all the word of wisdom that he has manifested, the lifestyle came from abiding in Father's agape love, period. It's not complicated, it's period. Start from the place of abiding in Father's love. So as a disciples, did he tell us the same thing? Yes, he did. He said in John 15:4 and 5, he said, "Abide in me." Abide means, in common English, it means remain, dwell, stay in that place. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So abiding in Christ is a foundation of our faith. All the things that some of the evangelists do, hopefully they're doing it from a place of abiding, because certainly that's how Jesus did it. We may have a different calling, different purpose, different place in the body of Christ he called us to be, not we volunteered to be. Everything is to be done from the place of abiding in God's Father's love. And I'm going to talk a little more at the end and what that would look like practically, right? Okay, so that's abiding. Remaining in the agape love of Father. Well, what about listening? How does that work? What did Jesus talk about? In John 5, verse 30, Jesus said this, "I can do nothing on my own initiative." What? Really? Listen to this again. Jesus said this, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him, God, who sent me." And John 10, he says to us, he tells us, "My sheep, That's us, right? How many, raise your hand if you believe you're sheep. Sheep of Christ, right? We are, yeah. Bah. Amen. That's right. Yeah, matter of fact. Amen. But that's a relief because we have a shepherd. I don't see that as a downside. I see that as an upside because we have a shepherd who protects us. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, right? Right now it feels like we're going through the valley of the shadow of death. We're not actually getting killed. We're going through the valley of the shadow of death to the place of the table, the feast of God, the unending feast of God, that we don't have to go gorging like crazy because everything is spread out before us. But guess where that is? In front of our enemies. We need to trust God strongly. Think about it. The enemy wants to kill you. They're screaming at you. They're chained, right? But they're screaming, cursing, doing all things to make you afraid. But that's where our table is set up. That's the world. In the world that we are blessed, but we're constantly facing. If you're living according to the will of God, you're always in faith with opposition. But that's where we feast. Amen? Some of us are looking for a table in a green pasture only. Yeah, there are times that we do feel like that we're in that place. But as a mighty sons and daughters of God who needs to go into the territory of the enemy to set the captives free, that's where our feast is. I talked about the last days. And we are living in the last days. And one of the main reasons why our culture has shifted, the heart of the people that has shifted, again, because they do not know the truth, because we do not fully disciple. We may preach the good news. We may, you know, do some ministry here and there. But discipleship is what I shared before. Discipleship starts with leading others into the family of God, but you need to teach them the culture of God. If you don't teach kingdom culture, culture of the kingdom, people will be still accustomed and still live from the culture of this world. If you don't teach the law of God, the new covenant law is love, love. If you don't teach them that, they'll be bound by law of this world. So we need to be intentional about making disciples. But first, I believe that God wants to correct us on how to be a disciple, which is abide, listen, and obey. So listening is very important. Very, very important. Because when we hear God through the scripture or through the spoken word of God, that's when we truly receive faith for what he's telling us to do. Some of us grab any random scripture or want something, and we want to conjure up faith and work the faith to do some work of the Lord. But in reality, anything that God wants to do, we need to first hear from God. Amen. Whether you read it and Holy Spirit highlights and confirm it to your spirit, or whether we sense the Lord beckoning our hearts, or we hear audible voice, whatever that might be. Once we hear God, that's when we get faith for what he's telling us. Then we can manifest that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's why abiding is very important, because we're having loving interaction with the Father all the time. His presence cleanses us. His impartation of his character eradicates the oldness of our nature. It's very, very important. Okay, let's move on to obey. Some of us put this backward. As a Presbyterian, I was told, obey God, no matter what. Obey him. Just obey. Just obey, young. It's good to obey. Good to obey. What? Even the Old Testament, it says this, right? If you're willing and obedient. It doesn't say if you're obedient, period. It says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Willingness comes from what? Comes from abiding and listening. From relationship. I love my Father so much. I'm willing. So let's read that. What does it say in Scripture? John 14:10. Let's read together as one. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. So Jesus obeyed by the power and the presence of God in him, and he obeyed and God manifested. I'm going to share something that is very shocking. If we read John 15, bear the fruit of the Spirit, without the fruit, you will be cut off and dried and thrown into fire. Some of you know this. The only thing that matters in a kingdom is the fruit of the Spirit to God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Love, fruit. It has peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, facet to that singular fruit of love. That is the only fruit that matters in a kingdom. And that only happened as a byproduct of us having abiding relationship with the Father, period. That's the only thing that matters. Because why? Because Jesus said it. He said that in John 15. Everything else is a byproduct. Let me share this. Good works, all the miracle signs and wonder, all the things some of us strive for, being righteous and holy and all that, is a byproduct of having relationship with the Father. It should never be the goal. I spent all my life as a Presbyterian good boy trying to be the byproduct, try to manifest the byproduct. I try to obey God with my strength. And, you know, some of you misunderstand, love your God with all your strength, all your might, all your soul. But in reality, that is not good enough. If that was good enough, Jesus would never come. The standard of God is perfection. Let me repeat this. The standard of God is perfection. Repeat after me. Standard of God is perfection. And Jesus perfected that standard, and we are in Christ, therefore we have achieved that. And we are called to live a sanctified life. We're renewing our mindset in the reality of the kingdom, and the greatest measure of sanctification is washing with the water in the Word of God. Sanctify your wife. Jesus will sanctify your wife. Husband, love your wife so that Jesus may sanctify her, the church, through the washing of the water in the Word. I'm going to read that at the end. You will be surprised what is there. It's always obvious. So obedience is the last facet. Well, it starts with us obeying God by abiding in Him. But external manifestation of obedience in all that good works is the last place. But like I said, some of us have that as a main goal, that we strive for that. It's not like no different than beloved Muslim community. They love God, but they love wrong God. They desire to be loved by Father, but they have the wrong God. They can never be loved. But if we try to do this our way, we're searching for exact same God. We're looking for God to give us approval because somehow we try to be the good boy or good girl in a kingdom. But he desires just to have relationship first. Amen? Abide, listen, and obey. So how do we actually practically do the abiding, the very first part of that? How do we do that? Well, it says this, with the Word of God first. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, so they already believed Christ to be the Messiah. We know this one. If you continue or abide or remain or stay in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know, as in believe it in your heart, that knowing, the truth, and the truth will make you free. So let me share this. Starting place of disciple is abiding in the Word of God. Why? Because we don't know that. Even though our spirit has been regenerated, even though our spirit has been born again, the sanctification process, right, we're going through sanctification, all of us, is to renew our mind, old mindset, with the mindset of the Lord. Okay? God talks about this in John 17. John 17, Jesus prayed, last prayer before he died. He said this in the midst of his prayer. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. There's only the truth. Is truth is word of God. Jesus Christ, the manifest word of God, is also the truth. And the Holy Spirit, who only speaks of the Father and Christ, is also the truth. Amen? So Romans 12, 2, it says this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. To be able to discern, like some of us are really looking for, I want to hear God audibly. Yes, we can do that. We can sense God and we can hear God. But how do you know it's the Lord? My wife and I suffer for many years because once your spiritual awareness to the spiritual realm opens up, without the proper discernment, you may not discern whether it's God or the devil, because devil also quotes the scripture. So where do we begin hearing God? Where's the starting point? It's the word of God, written, already revealed, mind of God, heart of God. We can never discern God without God himself. People never knew God until God revealed himself first. This is a very important principle. We can never know God unless God reveals himself first. From Genesis all the way through Revelation. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. Little ant or one single cell organism can never understand human. But if we develop technology to communicate that cell, the cell will understand to a certain degree. Amen? Same thing. God is so incredibly big and large, but he made himself available to us, in us. When we became born again in John 15, Jesus promised, on that day, my Father and I will come and dwell in you. And I will send Holy Spirit to dwell in you. So many of us are looking for revival. And yes, we need revival. But we already have a habitation of the Lord already in us. So many of us are crying out to heaven for something to hope, something happen, and we're crying out to God, somehow hoping that he will listen to me from far away. But he abides in me. Just as Jesus, God abide in him, Jesus said the exact same thing on that day. I will abide. My Father will abide. I will send you the Holy Spirit to abide. That's what we are called, what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. It's literal, not fictional. It's real. We are the temple. Amen? Amen. Amen. Do you believe that? We are the temple. Come on now. So when we read the Word of God, we get to find out, oh, this is who God is. Oh, I thought he was this. No, this is he. Oh, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Oh, this is what Jesus was like. Therefore, we would not be jaded. If we have pre-assumed or assumption about Jesus in a certain way, he has to be this way. He has to do this. This is that. No. We are already born into the body of Christ. If you accept that Jesus, if you in your heart believe, not just saying it, not just thinking it in your mind, not just an agreement, which some old English they say mental assent, but if you truly believe that in your heart, and if you confess with your mouth, The power of God has made you born again into new creation. And whether you like it or not, you have now become the body and the citizen of the heaven. And every family of God has family history, family culture, family customs, right? Every one of your family have that. You're all the things that you enjoy, you share with your next generation. And if you don't understand that, if you would just walk into some family, like my family, front door, you have to take off your shoes. But if you don't understand, you would just come waltzing in with the muddy shoes. I'm going to stop you. Stop. That's not okay. But if you don't understand that, what happens? How dare you? What is wrong with just walking around with the shoes on? I do that all the time in my house, right? But what if it's not true for the other house? More so, what about kingdom of God? What kind of custom does it have? What kind of culture did he establish? What is a normal for a kingdom, right? Normal. Wow, that's the word. What is a normal for a kingdom? Well, it starts with abiding and meditating on his word. Okay. So we've been looking for, okay, how do I be the wrinkleless? How do I be spotless? It's actually very obvious. It's actually very, very obvious. It starts with abiding. Let me break that. How do you find abiding here, Young? Well, let me repeat that. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says husbands, but it's also wives. Because husband is the only one who loves? Or do you believe the wife also loves their husband? Right? So it's interchangeable between man and a woman. Husbands, but the reason Jesus put down husband is allegory sharing that Jesus is husband to the church. So that's the line that he's forming right here. But in reality, we're all called to love one another. Amen? So he says in verse 25, husbands, agape, love your wives. So how do we do that? By abiding in the Father's love. And from that place, Jesus said this, love one another as I love you. So in order for us to love one another, where do we need to be? Receive his love as I love you. As I love you comes before loving other people. But how do we receive God's love? How do we love God? By receiving his love. We did that by receiving Christ. Amen? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved, agape loved the church and gave himself up for her so that Jesus might sanctify her, the church, or us as the individual, or her as a larger church, having cleansed by her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church, individual, corporate, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So when we abide in the Father's love to love others, and when we abide in meditating and eating of the bread of life, we are being sanctified. And we are becoming spotless, wrinkleless bride. So for ages, people have been looking. We need to be sanctified. We need to be spotless. We need to be wrinkleless. There it is. It is imperative that we put our flesh to submission to spend time with God. Some of you may feel like it. Some of you may not feel like it. You know, I just don't feel like abiding. I have a hard time reading the scripture, and this is not easy for me, and, you know, it's not comfortable. That's why you need discipleship. Some of you might be hospitalized. Maybe spiritually you're under comatose. You know what you need? You need force feeding. You need to be injected with the nutrients for you to wake up and hunger again. So if you're unable to start any of this on your own, that should have been from the beginning of your discipleship journey, that you need somebody to walk with you. You need somebody who have this down as their lifestyle, reading and meditating and worship. Abiding, there are many different forms. Their praising and worship is one of the ways. Abiding simply means this. Let me simplify, okay? How about that? Do you like me to simplify it for you? It's shifting our attention, forefront of our mind, onto the Lord. Let's say that I'm like angry at something, and I'm like, this is not okay. Abiding means this. Jesus, I need you. It's like you're shifting away from the problem, shifting away from insecurity. Oh, I can't do this. What's wrong with me? You're shifting. Jesus, I shift my focus. So it's intentionally shifting our focus back onto the Lord. Some of us will call it, some of you know this, practicing the presence of God, right? Brother Lawrence, yes, practicing the presence of God, shifting all our attention, all our focus back onto the Lord, constantly throughout the day. You may start with one verse, and whenever you get in problem, you recite one verse. Or even simpler, you may simply say, Jesus. Simply keep going back and forth like a ping pong, back and forth, back and forth. But it's like a mastery. It's like a martial arts. You start from white belt. Nobody starts from black. You start from white belt. It takes years to cultivate. Some of us, it gets accelerated. How? By the encounter. If you encounter the Lord, if you become undone in His presence, that becomes acceleration. But it's a lifelong journey of mastery. Amen? It's a lifelong journey. Everybody starts from the same place of not knowing what the Word of God is, not knowing who He is. So we start from that place, and we gradually, intentionally, purposefully increase that. And the more you practice, guess what? You can physiologically feel God every time you say Jesus. Every time you read Scripture through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, you feel God. It will be the place where you can actually sense Him physically. You will get there. But that's not the end. We will move in the power and the authority, just as Jesus promised. We become more and more free as our mind gets renewed. And we begin to redeem others into the kingdom of God from that very place of intimacy. Let me recap this. Abide, listen, and obey. If we are disciples of Christ, we will abide, whether in His word, in His worship. Oh, greatest thing about abiding, there's another one that is amazing, helped me a lot. Praying in the Spirit. That is one of the greatest ways. But not with our eyes, but intentionally focusing on the presence of God in you. Out of the belly flows the living water. God dwells in the heart of the man, but it's not heart organ. In the center of our being, the river flow, in the center of our being is the presence of God. He dwells in the center of our being. And when we begin to master, we can begin to gaze back on the presence of God within us, not out there. He's out there, yes. We are also in Christ, in the heavenlies, yes. But when we practice, we begin to shift all our focus and sense God and communicate with God, talk with God, receive impartation of His character and goodness. But it has to start with the Word of God. Amen? It has to start with the Word of God. First century church, they were oral culture. They memorized everything. Everything. We're right now living in a culture where we're hyper-dependent on technology. Some of us don't even remember our children's phone number anymore. Some of us used to remember everything, including direction and the address. We don't remember any of that anymore because we no longer use that part of our brain. Well, good. Now we can use that part of our brain to memorize the Scripture that we would like to recite in our own private time to push back against the mindset of the enemy. Amen? So I want to encourage all of us to begin starting today, not tomorrow, starting today, even a single verse of the Scripture that you would like to recite, but more purposely, read slow. Eat like a really incredible rich meal. Our purpose is not to quick read through the Scripture. Our journey is not about being quick reading as much as we can. Our journey is finding out about the Lord, slow eating, slow chewing of the scripture through the day, especially starting with New Testament, if you don't know. Old Testament is only as important after you find out about Jesus, because the New Testament church only heard about what? Jesus. I'm not denying Old Testament is not important. It is very important, but if you don't know anything about God or Jesus, you need to first read about who he is, who Holy Spirit is first. Before, that's why we have so many mixture in a church. We have so many mixture of Old Covenant and New Covenant going back and forth, because we don't understand New Covenant properly, because we don't understand the New Covenant Christ. Anyways, that's a side note. But I want to encourage you, if you don't know about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the heart of the Father, read the New Testament first. Eat up that word. Amen? So I want to encourage you, if you want to stand up, worship team, if you want to play, I want to encourage you that if you feel like you're stuck, young, I really want to do it. I know it is the right thing. I know it's really, really good for me. I know it's going to help me a lot to walk in greater measure of freedom. It's going to help me a lot being a disciple. It's going to help me a lot walking in all the fullness of the Lord. But for whatever reason, I'm unable to. Busyness and whatnot. For whatever reason, regardless of that, if you are not doing it, or if you don't want to do it, but you want to, if you're stuck, I want you to come. We're going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you to begin this incredible journey of discipleship, abiding in the presence and the love of the Father, listening to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do His will. I want to encourage you. Yeah. If you want to, just come up. We're going to pray for you. Otherwise, I believe that you're already doing it. You have no problem. This is a great church. Amen. Amen.